So again, this is about theory. It's called. And the subject is like this. We have this in some sphere of time period. With coefficients different from ZT, there are some quite annoying theories, but they are not as good as this one. So, the results are weaker, more groups are involved. So this is basically the setup that we will use. And there are versions of this Smith theory for various kinds of homology theories, for simplicial homology, for singular homology, for Czech homology, for all of them. But the basis of this is common and simplicial. The easiest thing to tell you about simplicial theory. And of course, it is not restricted to sphere. It is a general theory. For balls, it gives similar results. It was very useful in the situation of algebraic geometry, relating homology of complexification and real part. So there are many applications. And the general setup is like that. So we have, I will speak about simplicial theory. We have a polyhedron, simplicial space. Assume that it is equipped with triangulation, so triangulated space. We have a map of it to itself, which is simplicial also. And this map is of prime periods. P is a prime number. Quite interesting special case is when P equals to, that is for involutions. And maybe I will start with this. It's already interesting and quite consistent. So transformation of period two, they are called also involutions. So this means that T squared equals identity. And by the way, this is the same as T inverse is T. Positive equivalent. The involutions play very special roles in many subjects. So we have an involution of this space. And there are two types of orbits. One type is a free orbit, when you have a point X and Tx. Two points. Mm-hmm. And another orbit is when x, x is not equal to Tx. And another when x and Tx coincide, and then this is called fixed point. And I will denote the set of fixed points by F. Fixed point set of T. There is one more space which is involved, namely the orbit space. So we just consider the space of made of these orbits. In this space, we have a part which is a copy of the fixed point set, because each point from fixed point set is a point in the quotient, in the orbit space. And also we have a factorization, projection of factorization, which probably I have to denote not by P, but by pi. So this is the topological situation. I have to assume that triangulation is sufficiently fine. So when you have a simplex in X, its intersection with the fixed point set is also a simplex. So things like that, when your simplex is flipped by this involution, but there are points which are there, is prohibited. What may happen is that this simplex is entirely inside the complement of F, or it intersects with it, say, in the vertex. And then we have things like that, or like this. And if we want to have a better picture, we can also make, well, first of all, how to achieve this if we just have whatever triangulation. To achieve this, we can take a barycentric subdivision of the triangulation. Are you familiar with this notion?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We can make a couple of barycentric subdivisions so that the triangulation of X would give also triangulation in the quotient space. Okay. So then we have a simplicial complex of X with, I'm talking about P equals 2. Then I will tell you about a general case separately. This is a complex, so we have a chain complex, as you studied in the first algebraic topology, with Z2 coefficients. There is a projection of this complex map induced by projection to the quotient. And there is a subcomplex here. Okay. And also the complex of pairs of this pair. So we can write down some sequences which appear in this situation. There is yet another thing which is specific in this situation, which looks like that. Let's consider a map of Cx with Z2 to itself, In what follows, I will skip coefficients. They will always be z over 2, integers modulo 2. But now I want to consider a very special map. First of all, we have this T, and it induces a map.
Yeah.
And I add to it 1. Let me denote this by theta. Theta is special. Let us calculate theta squared. It is t plus 1 squared. And this is t squared plus twice t plus identity. But 2 in z2 is 0. So this is gone. T star squared is 1, and the whole thing is 0. What does it mean? It means that theta is a differential, right?
Yeah. Wait, so is the plus 1 map just, is the 1 just, is it the induced my map by the identity map?
Yeah, 1 is identity.
Okay.
Of course, this differential is a little bit strange. T changes T preserves the grading. 1 also preserves the grading. So this map preserves grading. And we can consider, nonetheless, differential. We have a differential, so we can take homology. Let us look what is the kernel of theta, what are the closed, how is it called, cycles of this differential, and what are the boundaries. Of course, boundaries be contained in the kernels. Because this is different. Okay, so what changes are annihilated by theta? How can happen that some chain C is after application of theta becomes zero? When any chain is a linear combination of simplices here, and since the ground ring is Z2, it is just a collection of simplices. You can take those simplices which have coefficient, well, coefficients may be either 1 or 0. 0 coefficients we disregard, so it is just a collection of some simplices. And for each simplex we have also its image. And we can split our chain into the pieces corresponding to orbits. Well, if sigma is there, but sigma is T sigma is not, then this differential will be containing sigma plus T sigma. right? I apply 1 plus t to sigma. What I'll get is sigma plus t sigma. But if I had both sigma and t sigma, then I will get the...
Let's see.
So how C is organized if we know that theta C is zero? C is a collection of simplices. For each simplex, either it is belonging to F, either it is fixed point, is made of fixed points. So then T sigma equals sigma. If sigma belongs to F, then we have T sigma equals sigma.
Oh, yeah.
And theta of sigma is zero.
Yes.
So it is sigma plus T sigma, sigma twice is zero.
Yes.
And another situation when boundary is zero, when theta is zero, is when sigma doesn't belong to F. And then theta sigma is sigma plus T sigma. And if T sigma also was there, then this is zero. So we can describe now this thing. This is the chain group of F plus chain group of the quotient space modulo F. Again, the coefficients are zero, I and Z2. So this part is that. And what is this? Well, any simplex on which my involution acts freely, give me a simplex here in this complex, generator of this complex. But if I take together with this simplex its image, it will be annihilated. So honestly, it is, so that there is a map from C of X slash T F to C of X. And this map is made as follows. So we take simplex from here. So it's in fact a pair of simplices, sigma T sigma, and assign to it sigma plus T sigma here. So we project, if you like. What is interesting is that this map is a chain map for the usual differential. We have usual differential here. And this is a chain map. It's better probably to rephrase it a little bit. So what is this part? This part is this kernel. So rather I will map a kernel of theta to here. Kernel of theta is made of S4 orbit structure. of sums like this, and each such sum gives me a generator here. Now, what about the boundary? Well, this is this commutes with the boundary. It commutes with the boundary. But F here is to be disregarded because when we have such pair of simplices and its boundary of each of the simplices intersects F, then this boundary collapses because it comes to the same simplex. So we have really an isomorphism here. On the group level, Well, to get the core of this theory, Smith sequence, let us consider just the following thing. We have C of X with Z2 coefficients, and its map defined by theta to the image of theta. It is epimorphism. And on the other hand, inclusion and kernel of theta. So the kernel of theta is identified with these guys. What is the image? Okay, let's take a generator here and look what is happening under theta. If this generator belongs to F, then it crashed. It is just multiplied by because it is multiplication by theta. So I take sigma from F, take sigma plus T sigma. This is theta of sigma. And this is zero because this is sigma plus sigma. So the fixed simplices are killed. Then if sigma is not in F, and I apply theta, I will get symmetrized thing. So this part can be identified with C of X of orbit space modulo F. So, and finally, after these interpretations, we have a short exact sequence. Which is very nice. Look, all the ingredients, all the subcomplexes make geometric sense, make topological sense. We can write down the sequence, homological sequence associated with this, and it will look as follows. Homology of F plus homology of the quotient space, sorry, modulo f, then, sorry, everything with z2 coefficients of x, homology of the quotient space, modulo f, and then a differential which goes to the to that group, but with one dimension less. And then everything continues. So we have a thing like that. Let us try to interpret the maps. The map from C of X to the quotient, this map, second one, it is just defined by theta, and this is induced by our projection plus composed with factorization, with relativization. Because if you just take projection, it will go to this quotient, the homology of quotient space, and then we just consider relativization. And this is that map. This map is induced by inclusions, both inclusions of F. This is just for the first factor. So for the first factor, it is induced by inclusion. What about this? This is another space. So this is the quotient space. And we can see the r-dimensional chains there. So for each r-dimensional chain, we cook up what was the correspondence of it. So we take the pre-image of this chain. We take a cycle here, and consider what is called transfer. So what's going on? So in the quotient space, we have a simplex. We pick up both copies of its pre-image. Its pre-image is made of two simplexes. And this is already in X. This is in the quotient. So we have this pi. So in fact, this is a sort of lifting, taking pre-image. Have you made this environment of involution sometime? I want to show an example, and for this I want to have some. Have you ever considered knots? Knot theory? No. I'm familiar with Riemann surfaces.
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah, so we may consider the following thing. You may consider Riemann surface of some function of degree 2. Oh, let's see. Let us take the function of z. Squared minus one. So we have a sphere. On the sphere, we have two points, one and negative one. and reconsider Riemann function of this surface. It can be obtained if you take two copies of this sphere, cut along an arc containing these two points, and then glue the sides of this cut in this crossway. Here, there is an involution changing the sheets. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is the situation. So F is made of two points here. So, well, here it would be also a sphere. Two points. Oh, probably I would rather take elliptic function. Slightly different, let me. Because this, here the homology are mostly trivial. So let's consider an example like that. Torus. And in this torus, we have a symmetry with respect to a line. So each point is mapped to a symmetric point. What is the quotient space? The quotient space of torus is a sphere in this situation. So you may think about this as follows. Let us consider the ambient space. The ambient space can be fibered into planes, horizontal planes, perpendicular to this line. And we can extend the involution on torus to involution on the planes. So on each plane we have an involution which identifies symmetric points. When it comes to the torus, when we have an intersection, what we have is something like this, and we have symmetric points there. And here, after factorization, yeah, and factorization here looks like squaring. We can take a complex coordinate in each of these planes, and when we identify, we just map z and negative z to the same point, which can be done by taking the square. We can map z to z squared, wrapping this plane, having twofold covering branches of this point. And then when we move this plane, first we have nothing in it, then it touches a longer disk, and here we have not a longer disk, a longer circle, and this circle will be mapped there, but then the circle turns into figure like this at the critical point, you know, as in this Milner's picture of Morse function. And the squaring identifies these two circles, they turn into a single circle, which is here. Then we have two circles, which turn into a single circle, which are it's covering. Then again, we have this picture. And then we have a single circle, which goes to single circle and so on. So we have a torus with involution, which is quite often called hypergeometric involution. It can be considered as the Riemann surface for the function square root of a polynomial of degree 4. Say z minus z1, z minus z2, z minus z3, z minus z4. So the base is a Riemann sphere which looks here in this quite odd way, and here we have the covering which looks like this. But without this Riemann surface, we can think about this in an elementary way. So we have a torus on one hand. We make symmetry of this torus with respect to a line, and we get a surface which is homeomorphic to sphere and which is positioned in with respect to the axis of symmetry, the image of axis. In this way, it meets it in 4 points. Are you with me? Do you follow?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
So we can look what is going on here in this sequence. What other examples? Oh, of course. Great example is when X is whatever sphere and we have involution in this sphere and we want to understand what the homology of the fixed point set of the quotient and so on. So this will be a couple of standard examples that we will consider. Okay. First of all, as soon as you have a homology, an exact sequence, you can write down that the order characteristic is zero, right? I mean that if you take alternating sum of terms of number n of ranks. Imagine that we have some exact sequence C1, C2, C3, and so on. And it finishes with zero. So it is, starts and finishes with zero. Then exactness implies that for ranks of this group, we have this equality. The order characteristic made of this ranks is equal to zero. Are you familiar with this? It's a standard thing
for
homology theory. Let me explain this. How to do this in a simple way. Well, anyway. So we have some sequence. Let me switch from C to A because it is an abstract situation. So imagine that we have a sequence of vector spaces. In our situation, they are vector spaces over this Z2. And let me denote somehow this homomorphisms, say B1, B2, B3, Bn minus 1. Okay. So I know that the sequence is exact. And I can write down that, yeah, and the sequence can be obtained from a shorter pieces of it. We can take A1, something which is induced by B1, just image of B1, and an isomorphism. This is a part of that. So here we have that this this dimension is equal to that dimension, and this means that alternating sum is zero. Dimension of this. So first of all, this that I'm trying to prove. Maybe it is question?
Wait, can you say again, which two dimensions are the same? You give me the A1 and the
wait a moment. Image of first, let me formulate the statement. So each time when we have this exact sequence of spaces and homomorphisms, I can say that the alternating sum of dimensions of this groups is equal to zero.
Okay.
It was a little bit unexpected to me that you do not know this, therefore I probably started with a not the simplest way to tell you about this. I mean to consider this sequence step by step, but you know, the all the characteristic can be calculated both from chains and from homology, right?
Yeah.
So if we consider this as a chain complex, we see here a chain complex with zero homology because it is the sequence is exact.
Yeah.
So the homology of A is zero.
Yeah.
Because of the condition. And then the chain, the Euler characteristic can be calculated through the homology. It is equal to the alternating sum of the homology of A, which is zero. Therefore, this is zero.
Anyway, so what is A?
A is whatever vector space, so or whatever fixed field.
Okay.
If you have exact sequence like this, and they are vector spaces, then you can consider the alternating sum of this vector spaces, dimensions of these vector spaces, and alternating sum of homology. When you pass from this to that, what you are doing here, you consider so you have this sequence. Oh my goodness. Yeah, okay. If you work in this way. So homology can be defined as cycles modular boundaries, right? So this boundary is a kernel of B. Okay, and this is image of B K minus one.
Yeah.
Okay. And therefore, the dimension of H K is the dimension of Z K minus dimension of BK minus one. BK. But this image is the same as due to exactness. Oh, come on. Okay, for each K, we have AK, BK, ZK, this image is something. It's absolutely elementary things. I just lost a little bit because I started to do this from the middle of a proof. So there is this general fact that the alternating sum of dimensions of chains is equal to the alternating sum of homology. How come to this? Because what is homology? Yeah. Homology is the quotient of cycles by chains.
Yeah.
And In this sequence, you can also relate the images and the kernel. So the image is the image BK comes from AK, and the quotient, the kernel is ZK. So you may write down that the dimension of A equals the difference, the sum.
Yes.
And wait. Yeah. And on the other hand, the dimension of HK is just the difference of these two.
Yeah.
So when you plug in the expression of AK through HK, ZK, and BK, the parts from neighboring dimensions are cancelled out. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a general thing about any homology sequence. So I can write down that the Euler characteristic of the whole homology sequence is a zero. And this means that, what is this Euler characteristic is made of? It is made of the Euler characteristic of this term, Euler characteristic of that term, and Euler characteristic of these terms, but they come with different signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is obtained from this? Euler characteristic of F plus Euler characteristic of the quotient minus the Euler characteristic of X plus the Euler characteristic of X slash TF is zero.
Yeah.
So from this we see that the Euler characteristic of X equals the Euler characteristic of F plus twice the Euler characteristic of X slash TF. And this is, by the way, obvious from the cell structure. Because each cell from F is a cell in X, and each couple of cells here give you a cell, cell in X slash T, which is not in F, gives you two cells in X. Okay.
Excuse me. Is the last term zero? Because it is. Why? Because it is Z2 coefficient.
Yeah.
I didn't get your question.
Is the last term is zero?
The last term, so, why? No. When. No.
Yeah, because two zero.
Euler characteristics are not in Z2. The Euler characteristic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
Through any field from homology with coefficients.
I see. Yeah.
So, yeah, but what two they coincide. That's right. Okay. So now imagine that this X is a homology sphere. First of all, what is the initial part of the sequence? Yeah. the very initial part, when r equals 0, then this doesn't appear. We have H naught. So this is G2.
Yeah.
Again, H naught of X slash TF. And here is zero. So since here is zero, we may claim that this, if F is not empty, if F is not empty, then this is zero. Because it is, wait a moment. What may happen?
No.
What may happen? That either this, so this is a connected space anyway. So it may be either 0 or 1. How it may happen that it is 0. If F is empty, then this is Z2. If F is not empty, then this is zero. So this is situation when F is not empty, and this situation when F is empty. So if F is empty, then this is isomorphism, and therefore this is zero. And we have Z2 here. I don't know yet what is, F is empty, so this is just zero.
Yeah.
And what's going on later? Well, it is rather a check of consistency. We will have that F is always zero, while this quotient space we'll have a homology of So this situation happens, and it's not very interesting. In this case, X is like RPN, projective space.
Yeah.
And not X, but the quotient, the quotient. X is sphere, is like sphere. Now, what if F is not empty? Then we have here zero. Therefore, this also is zero. And this should be an isomorphism. So this should be Z2. I mean, underneath in that case. So F is not empty, and we can go ahead. Let me move it. Okay. To free the space. So it comes from H1 X slash TF. And we have decided already that this is zero. right? And here we have to have each one of us.
Yeah.
Oops, the direction is wrong here. That's okay.
Yeah.
And this is zero. So then here we have H1 of F plus H1 of X slash T F, which is zero as we just have seen. Wait, why it is zero? Let me see here. Because this is Z2 and it goes to Z2. Okay. So we have isomorphism. Therefore, the zero was established here. And then I have the next chunk of information. If it is a homology sphere of dimension greater than one, then I have zero here. That zero was already established, and I just do not know what is H1 of F. And depending on, the next thing is H2 of X slash TF. No, it is going quite slow. I do not like this. I mean, that's the result of Smith, which I mentioned at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Can be proved in this way using the sequence. But I should sort of make it a little bit more industrial. So what does it mean, more industrial? To write down set of inequalities which follow from exactness of this sequence, which I really use here step by step, but it is possible to write it down through the whole way. As a matter of fact, there is an inequality which is proved in this way. So let me formulate this inequality. The inequality which follows from this sequence looks like this. I have to eliminate, this inequality eliminates the quotient space. So the inequality looks like that. Let us denote by BR of whatever Y, the dimension over Z2, of course, of HR of Y. We have here coefficients with Z2. So Y may be any space. Then the Smith inequality, which is called Smith inequality, but it was proved later by other authors, looks like that. The sum of BR of F is at most the sum of BR of X for all R. We have finite dimensional space, and this is the so-called Smith inequality. So what happens in the situation of Smith theory about homology sphere? when this is a X is a homology sphere, we have only two B, which are non-zeros. So zero dimensional and n dimensional, where n is the dimension of this sphere. And we see that F should satisfy the same inequality. The total sum of Betti numbers is at most two. How it may happen? Zero dimensional is always with us. And it may happen that zero dimensional homology is, if it is not free, if it is not free. If it is free, this left hand side is zero. But if the involution is free, is not free, then we have at least one and maybe two. If it is two, then we have no any other opportunity. Then this is zero dimensional sphere. If it is one, then we have at most one opportunity. And then we have to look at the Euler characteristic. This equality for Euler characteristic modulo 2 is equality of Euler characteristic of X and F if we reduce modulo 2. So we see that Euler characteristic of X and F are modulo 2 the same. So it cannot happen that this is 1 and this is 2. Inequality allows this, but the equality of for the congruence for Euler characteristic does not. So let me add here that the Euler characteristic of X is congruent to Euler characteristic of F mod 2. That follows because of this two. And then the total Betti number is modulo 2 the same as the Euler characteristic, because the Euler characteristic is made of even and odd dimensions, but with different signs, and we have this congruence. Together with this inequality, we have obtained this Smith result. Now, okay, next time I will prove this inequality. I think that I have to stop here, right?
Yeah.
So I will resume my office hours. If you like, you can come to me by Zoom at between 5:30 and 7 today. Sorry, today I was a little bit sloppy. I thought that since I worked with this for quite a lot, I can do this from scratch. I had to prepare a little bit more. After all, I almost did what I promised, but there were two stops. I'm not happy about this. Okay? And please ask me questions during the talk, the lesson or after. That's all for today.
Thank you.
I just read your paper about the your paper. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear.
Yesterday I just briefly read your paper and many places you just talk about devices, but I'm not very familiar with that. So what thing do you, so what book or what references do you recommend me to just get used?
Do you want to have paper reference?
Oh, what?
About, yeah. So what do you want to learn? What references do you ask for?
You are basically talking about like some, let me see about the detail, like, so you talk a lot about like a divisor of an algebraic curve. So I'm not very familiar with divisors. So wait, they are, I mean, for a curve, the divisors are just like